come up and he's going to share our Bible reading. Where's Howard? Where's Howard? There he is. He's hiding. You're so small, Howard, and I didn't see you.
This reading is saying from John 10, verses 1 to 18, and it's about Jesus the Good Shepherd. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his name, his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Oops.
You know, Jesus, during his earthly life, made many claims about himself. His biggest was claiming to be God. He did this when he forgave the sins of the people around him. People said to him at the time, wait, hang on a minute. Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus said, yeah, that's why I am forgiving sins. Another way he made the claim to be God was through the what we call the I am sayings. And they refer back in many ways to Exodus 3, verse 14. A lot of you know the story when Moses goes to the burning bush and God speaks to Moses through the burning bush about going back into Egypt to go to Pharaoh to tell him to release God's people who were suffering there in Egypt. Exodus 3:14, this conversation between God and Moses, it says this: when at the burning bush, Moses says to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your father has sent me to you.' They ask me, 'What is your name? What shall I tell them?'" Verse 14, God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: I am has sent me to you." Jesus himself, again, picked this up when in many ways he gave seven I am sayings. Most of you could name them, I'm pretty sure. It wouldn't be a tough quiz for many of you. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine, Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But two more of these can be found in John 10, which Howard read for us earlier on. I am the gate, and I am the good shepherd. Here, Jesus uses the illustration of the shepherd and sheep. You know, thinking about Jesus, he was a really, you know, I don't like to say, but he was a pretty good preacher, you know. I'm not sure how he'd fit in certain places nowadays, but Jesus was really good at using relatable illustrations in his preaching. He was great at that, okay? He had some really good illustrations. And they were always relatable to the people who were listening. So here in this situation, he's talking about shepherd and sheep. And it would have been very familiar to those that were listening to him. They know all about sheep. They all know about shepherds. They knew it was relatable to them. This idea that we are like sheep who need a shepherd. This is still, I think, very much relatable in some ways to us today. So I want to look at this passage in John 10 where Jesus makes these two more I am sayings, and I want to use this idea of the shepherd and the sheep and try and relate it into Jesus and us today in our world. So the first thing I want to say is that Jesus says, "I am the gate for the sheep." Verse 7, "Therefore Jesus said again, 'Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep.'" Verse 9, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They come in and go out and find pasture." You know, in the time of Jesus, the shepherd was often quite literally the gate. What I mean by that is that often they would lay themselves down at the entrance of the sheep pen. Often the sheep pen was actually made of stone. It was a kind of a stone, three sides of a kind of stone wall. And the shepherd would lay themselves down at the entrance to the gate. They would become the gate on which the sheep would have to enter the pen. Jesus says, "Whoever enters through me will be saved." I'm sure many will also know Romans 10, verse 13. "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Jesus is using the illustration of sheep entering a pen. And in verses 1 and 2, Jesus affirms that he is the only way to God, and he is the only way to the promises of God. He's the true, the legitimate shepherd of the sheep. Verses 1 and 2, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, which is him, but climbs in some other way, is like a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. He's making it really clear that you can't sneak in to God another way. You can't nip over the fence as such. Or to put it another way, you can't get there just by good works. You can't get there by other religions. Jesus is saying, I am the gate. I am the only way to the Father, to the place of security in him. And I think in the world in which we live today, many try. We've all been there in the car, driving along, and somebody says, oh, I know a shortcut. You just go down there, and you end up going down there, and somewhere along the journey you think, uh-oh, dead end. This is not the way that we need to go. We've got to turn around. We've got to go all the way back again. I think the world thinks there's lots of shortcuts. Let's try this way. Let's try that way. You know, but actually Jesus says, I am the gate. I am the only way. The true shepherd. The second thing I want to say is the shepherd calls his sheep by name. Did you hear that? I think that's why Howard got a little bit, because it's pretty amazing. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. You know, as today, we name, don't we, our dogs and our cats and our pets. So we've got a guinea pig called Cola in our house. We've got two chinchillas called Hope and Joy, because we're holy. And I know that you've got pets. Come on, who's got a pet? Who's got a named pet? Come on, Dawn, what's your pet called? Alfie, is that your dog? What, go on, Margaret.
Jesse and Judo.
Your cats? Jesse and Judo. Who else? Come on, Linda.
Chicken and pudding.
Chicken and pudding? What animals are they? Just out of interest. They're your cats. Yeah, come on. Marley the dog.
Mabel
the dog. Molly the cat. Come on. And Poppy, all the cats, we name them, don't we? We name them. But you know what? In Jesus' time, the shepherd would often name their sheep. Now, what does that tell us? Well, to me, it speaks to me about connection. It speaks to me about personal, relational, intimacy, closeness. And I think that's the picture, isn't it, of Jesus to us. It speaks to me that each sheep is unique, individual, important, special to the shepherd as we are to Jesus. You know, back in the day of youth work, I used to have a little bit of an illustration, and it used to work then. I'm not sure it works now, but I used to say, to one of the illustrations I used to use is that if God had a wallet, and he used to say that, you know, generally parents often in their wallet would have a picture of their child or children. And if you used to say to, you bump into somebody, maybe for a long time, they'd get the wallet out and they'd say, look, can I show you? Look, there's my little Billy there. Look, there they are now. Look, how they're doing. There's my little Karen. You know, they'd show you the picture of the child, a picture that they'd hold in their wallet. People used to do that. And then my illustration was this, that if you went up to God and you said, God, how's your kids doing? He'd be like, let me get my wallet out. And he'd get his wallet out. And it's just this ream and ream and ream of children will be there. We'll be in there. Your face will be in there. My face will be there. God said, look, there they are. Look, there's David. There's Ernie. There's Gary. There's David. And he'd have them all in his wallet because he knows us by name. It doesn't work nowadays. You'd have to put it on your phone, wouldn't you? Let's face it. That wallet illustration's gone over time. Now it's, let's get your phone out. We are known. How cool is that? Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. It is pretty cool. You know, sometimes we sing the song, don't we? My Jesus. I know it's Michael's favourite, one of Michael's favourite. We sing the song, My Jesus. And when you think to yourself, well, to sing that is not just a little bit arrogant. But it's not. It's just the reality, the amazing reality of the Christian faith. That we are known by the shepherd and that we can know the shepherd. The shepherd calls his sheep by name. That's the connection. Let's move it on a little bit. The sheep follow the shepherd, verses 3 and 4. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought them out, about all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. The sheep follow the shepherd. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. Again, when you read that, it speaks about relationship, doesn't it? It speaks about communion. It speaks about conversation. And I think it's something we need to learn to do more and more in our relationship with Jesus. To have that conversation, to have that sense of listening and hearing the voice of the shepherd. And I think it grows as we move along in our faith. Again, I've used the illustration before that I used to, you know, that I'm sure it happens still now, is that when, you know, you get a phone call and somebody, you know, particularly, again, it's not quite as relevant now because on the phones we have names and it doesn't work. All my illustrations are old now. Sorry, Emma. She says I am old. But you know, when we used to have the house phone and you used to ring up and pick it up and someone start talking to you and you think to yourself, who are you? They've not said who they are, and you're thinking, I daren't ask, because they're talking to you as if you do know who they are, and you feel a little bit embarrassed about it, and so you just go along with it, hoping for a clue that somewhere in the clue, they think, oh, yes, it's so-and-so, of course it is, isn't it? But sometimes you get right to the end of the conversation, the phone goes down, and you think to yourself, who was that? But in days gone by, it happens on the mobile phone, it's a little bit different now because the name comes up when they ring. But before that, every week, every couple of times a week, the phone would ring, a voice would say at the other end, hello, and I'd say straight away, hiya mum, how are you doing? I knew a voice because I was close, we had a relationship, we were connected. I believe we need to learn to know more and more the shepherd's voice speaking into our lives. Because we're told that the shepherd wants to guide us and the shepherd wants to lead us as his sheep. To where? Well, verse 9. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and out and go and find pasture. The shepherd wants us to find green pasture. This is the top priority of any good shepherd, as they know that good pasture is fertile and nourishing. We all know Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. For us, Jesus wants us to lead us towards a fertile and nourishing spiritual pasture. A place where we are fed spiritually. A place of provision for our soul. where we can find assurance and love and identity and security and peace and joy and all the wonderful things about being in that place of the pasture of our good shepherd. In verse 10, Jesus calls it life to the full. I have come to give you life in all its fullness. What does that mean? Some people might think, does that mean I'm going to get more money? Does that mean think I'm going to get a bigger house? Is it all about the material things of the world? I don't think it is. I think it's about being in a place of the pasture of the good shepherd where we encounter the assurance and love and security of his presence. It's a spiritual fullness that the shepherd wants to lead us towards. The shepherd, the sheep follow the shepherd. Then verse 11a, we're told that, again, that second one. First one is, I am the gate, Jesus says. Those can only come through me. But in verse 11a, we have the second one of the I am sayings, out of the seven in total, where he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And Jesus is saying that I am a good shepherd. So what does a good shepherd do? Well, a good shepherd, they are present and they watch over. It's good to know, isn't it, that wherever we are, I believe Jesus is present. He watches over us in our lives. A good shepherd tends his sheep, cares for his sheep, looks after his sheep. And I know that many people here can testify how the good shepherd, Jesus, has done this for us over periods of our time, over years of our lives, where we have found that tenderness and that care and that love of Jesus leading us and protecting us and being with us. He's looked after us. It's our testimony. A good shepherd would often carry a sheep when it is struggling or when it feels weak. If you used to type into Google, good shepherd, and go to images, the chances are you would get an image of Jesus carrying a sheep or a sheep around its neck. A shepherd would often put a sheep around their neck. That's the image in a lot of paintings portraying Jesus, that he would carry the sheep when they are weak, when they are struggling. And my goodness, we all need that sometimes. Again, how many of us can testify to when the shepherd has carried us and he's picked us up when we've struggled, when we're too weak? These are beautiful images for us to grasp in our relationship as sheep with the shepherd, the good shepherd. A good shepherd protects his sheep. Andrew last week talked about living under the shadow of his wing. The shepherd is totally invested in the sheep. In verses 12 and 13 it says this, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock is scattered. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But Jesus, you see, promises that he will never abandon us, that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us. We might not feel his closeness all the time. I know sometimes we rely on feelings and emotions, but the promises are true, that he will never leave us, never forsake us. When the attack comes, he's not like a hired hand who's not bothered and I'm out of here, I'm not dealing with this. Jesus, when the attacks come to us, when the pressure comes on us, Jesus says, I come even closer to you. I will not abandon you. I am totally invested in you as my sheep, as a good shepherd would be. And then we see that the shepherd, it says, lays down his life for his sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as my Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, our threat, our attack is not from wolves and bears. Our attack is from sin. Sin comes to harm us. Sin comes and destroys us. Sin comes and it kills in us. Isaiah 53 verse 6. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way. We've all sinned. The attack has come. But the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity, the sin of us all. Jesus, our good shepherd, was and is totally committed to us, to the place where he would lay down his life for us on the cross. Why? Because of his ultimate love for each one of us. You know, when I was preparing this message, I read that sheep cannot find their way home. They are not particularly bright. They're not like a homing pigeon that you can release miles away and it finds its way home. Or even like a cat that wanders around and finds its way home. Sheep are not like that. You let a sheep off, they've had it. They're not going to find their way back home at tea time on their own. They're not going to suddenly think, well, it's away up, nearly tea time, let's get back. And they come back for a warm or tea. Sheep are not going to do that. I thought that was quite important. Because there was no way we were going to find our way back home. No way. We were never going to do it. We were never going to find our way back home to the Father. We needed Jesus. We needed Jesus, our shepherd, to provide a way and to lead a way for us by laying down his life for us. And then finally, just verse 16. It says this. Again, these are Jesus' words. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. You know, we know that the shepherd's heart, isn't it, is for the lost sheep. We know that. We know that when we read the story in Luke 15 about the parable of the lost sheep. Probably one of the most famous stories in the Bible. The children will even know it. That story of when the shepherd has 100 sheep and one goes wandering off. What does Jesus do? What does the good shepherd do? Well, he secures the 99, but he goes off after the one who is lost. And he goes off and he goes wherever he is. He up and down the hillsides until he finds that lost sheep. Because of its value and its importance to him. He's not going to abandon us. He will never leave us. We sometimes sing that song. Well, we are going to sing that song today. Reckless love. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life to me. You've been so good to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love to God. It chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. But you give yourself away. The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love to God. No shadow you won't light up. No mountain you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down. No lie you won't tear down coming after me. We also know, don't we, the joy of when any lost sheep is found. If you read Luke 15, when you read about the parable of the lost sheep and when what happens when the shepherd finds the sheep, it says this, and he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." We know, don't we, the kind of the desire of the shepherd to find the lost sheep. And he says, "I have other sheep that are not at this time in the sheep pen." The good news is, for us, is that we were lost, and many of us now know what it means to be found. But we also know that there are so many other lost sheep in this world. Many of them close to us, in our families, on our streets, in our workplaces, where we find ourselves. We know, don't we, that there is so many people out there, sheep wandering around, never going to find their way home on their own. And the shepherd's heart is towards them, for them. They are lost without a shepherd. So I pray today that we might have the heart of the shepherd, that we might be, in some ways, captivated by reckless love, that it might take us to the lost so that we might know that they are, that they might know that they are known by the shepherd. That they might know that he is the only true gate that all must go through. That he is the good shepherd, who tends and cares and carries and protects and loves. And ultimately, he is the one who laid down his life for them and wants to lead them home, back home to the safety and the provision of the sheep pen and the pastures of our Heavenly Father. You know, it's a beautiful image of Jesus, our shepherd, that we are his sheep. And I pray today that we might be encouraged, that we might understand again a little bit more of that image, depending on where we are in our lives. That we might receive again, our eyes might be widened to the beauty and the wonder, that we might be moved again by the good shepherd, to know who he is for us and to know who we can be and are in him. We're going to pray about that, but before we do, we're going to sing the song, "The Lord is My Shepherd." Think about some of those images again, some of the just those things that John 10 brings through as reminds us of that image, that relatable image, I hope, as a shepherd, Jesus, our shepherd. But also us like sheep in many ways. And I just wonder what particular bit might speak into you. Well, that's up to the Holy Spirit. That's up to God. Maybe for some of you today, you just need to know that God knows your name. You know what? And that's not insignificant. That's amazing. The God of the universe, creator of the world, knows your name. He knows who you are. He knows what you like and dislike. He knows the things of your hopes. He knows your struggles. He knows you. That's the relationship. That's the wonder of the Christian faith. It's not a God who's distant and somewhere and just, he caught close to us. He connects to us. There's communion with him. He's got you on his phone. Surely, just got to have a mobile phone. That's a different sermon. For some, maybe we just need to learn to hear his voice speaking to us. Maybe it is that speaking our name, speaking that assurance, speaking his kindness towards us, perhaps his that sense of leading, because he wants to lead us to the places that are the best for us, the green pastures of the spiritual realm in many ways. He wants us to know the love and security, his assurance. And we need to hear his voice speaking into us, encouraging us and sometimes challenging us and leading us forward. Do we know again that you have a good shepherd who cares for you, who loves you, who draws to you, who will carry you, who will protect you? This is our Jesus. This is our good shepherd. Maybe we need to, for some, maybe they just need to acknowledge that, again, that he is the gate that we need to go through into the goodness of God. Have we gone through the gate? His welcome is towards us. We can't get to the goodness of God and the promises of God another way. We can't get there just by coming to church. We can't get there by doing nice things and giving coffee in the food of the week, brilliant as it is. But it doesn't get us into the presence of God. There's things that come out of the presence of that walking through the gate. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only one who laid down his life for us. Because he loves us, he wants to provide that way to lead us into the presence and the pastures of the kingdom of heaven. I just wonder where God might want to speak to you today. Let's just again bow our heads in quiet. Oh, we just take a moment to be still. To be still and know that you are God. Lord, you are the good shepherd. The good shepherd who will never leave us or forsake us. The good shepherd that walks with us, that looks after us, that tends to us, that wants to lead us towards spiritual pastures of your goodness. May that picture again encourage us today. May it lift us. May it bless us. For some, Lord, we really need that tender care of the Good Shepherd today. The stuff going on around us which is not good and we're struggling with it. Would you draw to us? Would we know the protection as the wolves of the world come towards us, Lord, as sin moves towards us, as the pressures of the world comes towards us? Would we know your protection again today in this place? A confidence on who we belong to, who knows our name. Lord, I thank you that each person here is known by you, that they are special and unique, and that you love them. Lord, sometimes we feel part of a big flock and we wonder, do you notice us? Well, your word says you know each sheep by name. You know my name. You know the name of every person here. That's how the relationship is. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that they would walk towards you. You are the gate in which we must go. You laid down your life for us on the cross, for our sins and our mistakes. But you provided a way for us, that if we go through you today, if we go through repentance, if we go through acknowledgement of who you are, Lord, that we too can enjoy the heavenly place set for us. Lord, we just need to call upon your name. Those that call upon your name will be saved. And Lord, for many of us that know that, we pray that we would have that heart in us, that reckless love to go out into this world to tell of us. There's so many lost sheep in this world. Some of us are crying out for the lost sheep that are closest to us. Lord, help us. Help us to be people who become vessels for your saving grace to touch the lost. We know that you love it, you rejoice in it, just when one lost sheep is found. Lord, would you use us to go to those that are lost? In your name, in the name of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Lord, may this image speak into our hearts, not just now, but when we prepare to go from this place. Remind us, encourage us. In Jesus' name.